Everybody, we are back with episode 242 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, sitting right across from me via Zoom. As always, it's my pal, DeQuincy.
Hello, everybody. We are back. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. I restrained myself from doing an intro mimicking some famous actor. I was thinking Jack Nicholson. I was thinking something along those lines. I just didn't have the voice ready to do it, so thankfully, I didn't go with it. I think part of it is just just the buzz, or not buzz, but just excitement over some of the happenings this week. So,
yeah. Got news earlier this week that the Screen Actors Guild strike is officially over. They signed a new deal with all the movie producers, so we'll finally be getting some new stuff out here. I don't know if you saw, but the actresses from the Marvels movie were finally able to get out here and do a little promo for it. Right. I'm sure all those women wish that the strike ended like 24 hours earlier, but you get what you get.
That's all. Just got to deal with the hands that are dealt. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited, you know. Deadpool 3 can resume. Marvel can resume. You know, everything can resume. And just not just that, but like just the industry itself, you know. Yeah. And like, you know, it impacts you and I a little bit, just because, you know, we are still, you know, we still have some investment in like Marvel and DC and, you know, whatever projects they put out, you know, that were put on hold or scrapped because of all this. And then, you know, you even see guys like, and it impacts our love of wrestling, our enjoyment of wrestling. You know, John Cena is officially gone. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a good run, and they timed it perfectly because, you know, like, he went out in a way that it makes sense that he would go away. And now he is definitely going away because the strike is over. It puts that uncertainty back in the air again, or maybe it strengthens the uncertainty of whether, you know, Dwayne is going to perform at WrestleMania 40.
Oh, he's not. He wasn't going to do that even if the strike was still going.
So
we got to get this whole The Rock coming back to wrestle thing. We got to get that dream up. It's over with. We love wrestling more than that man does. It's done.
I wish.
Oh, speaking of The Rock, did you see that report he put out? Like, both political parties asked him to run for president. All right. First off, I know you're lying because you're a wrestler. That's all y'all do. Secondly, what do you gain by telling us this now?
There's no reason. Like, I don't understand it.
Unless you're planning to run as an independent, there's no reason for us to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. No, but you're right.
Sorry, I had to derail the whole podcast to call Dwayne Johnson a liar. I just couldn't I couldn't let those lies stand, my friend. I couldn't. Go ahead.
There's only so much we can appreciate, but that's just one that, you know, you got to call him out on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right, man. It's like, at this point, he hasn't been in the ring in several years. The injury risk is always going to be at the front of his mind, at the front of everybody's minds. You know, the people, the insurance companies, the studios that are investing in this guy. You know, and that just kind of, that might devalue any kind of performance he might put on in a wrestling ring if he were to get back into it. Because, you know, contrary to what he might say, I don't think the goal anymore is to put on the best performance to give the fans the best show, I think it's, let's not get hurt. Let's not fuck this up.
Yeah.
So, you know, then that just affects the product negatively. But, you know, it was kind of fun, I think, that just while the strike was going on, like, is he going to come back? Isn't he going to come back? And he did come back for one spot, which was pretty awesome. And that was good because, like, nobody knew it was going to happen. And that those are the things we like to see, is when, like, it hasn't been leaked to the media, to the dirt sheets. And it is a big deal when it happens. And it shows that, you know, audiences are going to tune in as soon as they hear something like that happening, you know, especially if they, you know, weren't aware, you know, didn't have, you know, knowledge prior.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers show that, you know, that spike is going to happen and that interest is going to peak when those legitimate surprises do happen. But now that the strike is over, you know, the certainty or the possibility, the percentage of him actually coming back and performing in a headlining spot does go down even more, like even more significantly. Like if there was even a 10% chance, it's probably now down to a 2, 1, or 0, as you say. So
it ain't happening. He's definitely not wrestling. Let's move on. I feel like we've talked enough about The Rock and wrestling. So going back to the strike, it looks like the actors got just about everything they want. They asked for better pay raises, also for what they call for basically like the sex scenes. They have like intimate coaches so everyone can be comfortable. New terms to ensure that sets have proper hair and makeup services for all performers, including those who have diverse and textured hair. You know, you're not gonna have black people out there with a hairline that looks like the McDonald's Golden Arch.
I mean, I never really noticed it in movies, but I guess I'll have to go back.
TV shows are where you're gonna see really see things messed up with black people's hair is like TV shows, places where they don't really have the money. And honestly, if it's really bad, like in a movie, you're not going to notice it because they're not going to have like dreads or braids. They're going to have the black guy with like basically what my hair is, the short hair with hopefully a decent edge up, or it's a black woman. She's not going to have the texture hair. They're just going to have it laid down and easy. Like they're not even going to mess with it. Because they don't want us, they don't want to mess with our hair, and also we don't want them to mess with our hair. So this new deal will make it easier for not only black people but all people of all colors to have decent looking hair.
Yeah,
on set. What else? Let's see, an immediate 7% wage increase for many performers, an 11% increase for background actors. And those wages would increase again by smaller amounts in 2024 and 25. A new fund to compensate performers for their work on streaming shows, which that always annoyed me. Like streaming, like Netflix would put out, oh, we got the rights to Suits, and in the last 24 hours, we've gotten 500 billion views on Suits. And it's like, okay, that's great and all. Are you throwing any of that extra money to the people who made the show? Like not just the actors and actresses, but also the people who work behind the camera, the writers, the director, the crew. Like they don't see any of that extra money, but you, by having that show on your platform, you entice people to A, stay on Netflix, and or B, come to Netflix because they missed that show because no longer on network. And you're making all this extra money and you're not giving any away to the people who actually did the work.
Can I ask you a question?
Yo.
Why Suits?
Oh, because that's what happened. Suits came on Netflix and Netflix put out a release saying that it had so many hours in like 24 hours, like so many viewed hours in within a day or two.
I just thought for some, I was like,
no, I didn't make that up. That's
okay. No, no. I was like, did that show just pop into his mind for some reason? I don't. Is he watching Suits? I guess maybe I should have asked that first. Like, but okay.
Nah, I remember that press release came out a couple of weeks ago. I remember that, like when it first hit Netflix.
Oh, okay.
What else?
It's like, what an odd choice for DeQuincy to throw out. But okay, it makes sense now. I get it.
And one of the biggest things that that they had to come to terms with the movie studios was AI.
Like, yeah, that's a big
using
one.
AI. Let's see, there's a requirement that actors, including the background performers, give studios informed consent and give fair compensation for the creation of any digital replicas. And also, I think this is the most important thing, that consent cannot be attained at the front end. Like, you can't just give it at the when you first get scanned and it stays forever. It has to be attained at the time of use. So if you get scanned, your face gets scanned 3 years ago, if they mm-hmm. want to use it now, someone has to come and get your permission to use it again.
So it's in perpetuity.
You can't, you're not getting away your rights in perpetuity. Every time they want to use it, they have to pay you like you're actually in the scene.
Right.
And also, they have to give a description of what it's intended to use, so the performer can make a decision about whether they want to agree to it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't just digitally scan your face and then put you in some sex scene and not pay you for it.
Yeah. Right.
Honestly, the government should get on that, because I've seen their reports of, like, well, speaking of people taking actresses' face and putting them in to porn scenes.
Right.
And this is
I was going to say, save that for the, you know, like, movie companies shouldn't be doing that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, only, you know, just like lonely nerds, you know.
No one should be doing that.
Yeah, they shouldn't. I mean, they shouldn't be, what I'm saying. But yeah, oh, good for the guild.
Yeah, it's crazy, because you look at this deal, it's like, okay, this is everything they were asking for, like, 3 months ago. I don't know why it took the studio so long to come to this agreement. Mm-hmm. And that's just because they wanted to break the actors. They wanted them to be literally homeless and poor and then come back to the negotiating table so the studios could screw them over.
Mm-hmm. They held out.
Yeah, just like the writers, they held out, they stuck together, they stayed strong, and they got damn near everything they wanted in both of these deals, the writers and the actors together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy. I really hope that they figure out how the right way to use AI in writing and in TV shows, because I can't remember who said this. It was a writer who said AI doesn't create, it copies. Like, you put all the information into the AI system and it makes a copy of what is read.
Mm-hmm.
We are, like, I don't know how many times people have seen a show and be like, oh, that's a copy of this. Like, we already copy enough. We don't need a robot to do it, who's gonna do it worse. And I don't know if you've seen, like, what was it? The Disney Channel had some, like, made for TV movie. And it was like a scene inside the gym. It was a basketball scene, and the player had made a bucket or did some defensively, but whatever, he did something, and the camera goes over to the crowd, and you can see there's a bunch of people, but then, like, the third row up, there's like seven people who are all like AI. It looks like they took a screenshot of, like, MLB the Show of the crowd and put it into that movie. And it's like, it's so obvious. Like, that's the biggest problem I have with AI when it comes to, like, putting into TV shows. It looks so fake right now. We don't have the technology right now to make it look real for everyone. And everybody, they don't have the same amount of money. Like, Apple TV will probably spend more money than, like, this Disney Channel movie, right? So right. That, it looks like shit when it comes to Disney Channel. We need to, everybody needs to have, like, the right technology to make it look good. We're actually going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Which means spending money, which is something that we've seen from these strikes that they don't like to do. So, like, if you're going to keep trying to get away with shoddy AI work, you might as well just hire background actors.
And look, I know, you know, we plan to talk about football and we're going to talk about football, but I find all this interesting. And there is one last thing I want to ask you. That's about entertainment. Did you read the Variety article about the MCU?
The Variety hit job, you mean?
And you know, can I get your thoughts on those? Because it's pretty damning and like a little alarming if some of the things that they, you know, if some of these things actually happen. Namely, you know, going back to the well and opening up the checkbooks, you know, and just throwing all the money at, you know, Robert Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson and, you know, Chris Evans. And just, you know, just because it was such a good ending. It was such a good way to move on from those characters and those performers so they can go off and do things, you know, for themselves, you know. It's all very interesting, like what could happen sooner than we think.
So my first thought is, if you're thinking about doing like a movie with all those guys, like doing a full-fledged movie, get ready for a $600 million budget, buddy. Like Robert Downey Jr. was getting paid an astronomical amount of money before when he had a contract with Marvel. Can you imagine what it's gonna look like now? And not just for him, but for all those guys. And let's not forget Scarlett Johansson. Like, she had that big falling out with Marvel because they refused to pay her what she was owed for Black Widow because they put it on Disney Plus during the pandemic. Like, they've come to terms, and I've even seen reports that they're working together on something. But still, just I don't like, just because we're cool now don't mean like when you come to me and need me, I'm not gonna rake you over the coals and ask for some crazy fee. Like, you gotta pay me like you pay Robert, you know?
Right. I'll forgive, but I'll never forget.
Yeah.
I might forgive, but I'll definitely never forget.
Yeah. That check better be in the mail and it better have 9 digits on it. and you know, the rest of these guys are doing other things. What's his name? Captain America. What's his actual name?
Anthony Mackie.
No, Chris Evans. Oh, Chris Evans is doing another thing. Chris Hemsworth, like, really with him, he's still involved. Rumors are they're going to do a fifth Thor movie, but I don't know if you ever saw that Disney Plus special he had where he was talking about his life and everything. Like, he took a genetic test and he tested positive for a genome that causes, I can't remember, it was dementia or Alzheimer's. So I don't know how much he's going to be involved, like heavily involved in the MCU going forward.
Right.
So you're asking for a lot of time from people who've already spent a lot of time in the MCU. Like, honestly, personally, I think they could all come back for like cameos during Secret Wars or something like that. But I'm not expecting them to come in here and make a full-fledged two and a half hour Avengers movie again. I think that ship has sailed.
So kind of what was mentioned in the article is kind of, I don't know what to make of that then. Like, that's just a rumor then that just kind of creates a lot of some hype and hysteria, I guess, just for rumor's sake. I don't know.
Because everything, and
it would show a desperation on their part as well.
Everything that came out in that Variety article was like, it got shot down over a week. Like, they're talking about all the issues they were having with Blade and Mahershala Ali may leave. And then like a couple of days later, Marvel came out and said, we're working on a script because we couldn't work on a script during the writer's strike. And there is a rehearsal is still in this and it's rated R. Everything's got pushed back. Like, I think Blade isn't supposed to come out until 2024 because, if I remember correctly, the only Marvel movie coming out next year is Deadpool. That's it. Everything else got pushed back. What other stuff was in that article?
CGI issues. CGI issues with She-Hulk and Quantumania?
Yeah. The issues is whenever they make a project, they don't fit, like, not saying they don't finish, but whenever they're making a project, they always have like multiple ways to end it. That it's not always 100%. So you have to go back and re-CGI stuff whenever they do these reshoots. Now, hopefully Marvel has said, hey, we need to stop doing these reshoots, have it correct one way the entire way through. That way if CGI gets done, you know, as soon and as best as possible, so we're not going back there and trying to fix stuff.
And for me, maybe the biggest thing is, you know, the notion that Feige is stretching himself thin. How much of an impact do you think that really has? I mean, he, like, they're taking all these projects, but and he's, you know, the genius, the mastermind behind everything. But at the same time, shouldn't he have people in place, the right people, like handpicked people that he's confident that, you know, can fill in and finish things that he might not have time to work on, or, you know, oversee, or whatever it may be.
Well, they did have one guy, but he got fired.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember, James Gunn was supposed to be the guy taking over the cosmic side of Marvel until he got fired for some tweets. And, you know, now he's working at the competitor. So I'm sure there's a plan, but you see right now, they are already like cutting back on the amount of things they're doing. Like, they're cutting back on shows, they're cutting back on movies. Like, they're, what you saw from 2020 when it was like, we have a new Disney Plus show every 3 months. Like, they're not doing that anymore.
Right.
Like, you got Loki, and then I think the next show that comes out is the Echo show, which do you see a trailer for Echo?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. For all you people that were complaining about Disney not going into the doing like the hard violence or not being mature enough, well, here it is for you, Echo, and all the episodes day one. Like, they're giving you what you want there.
As someone who, like, you're definitely more invested than I am. Like, I mean, you still actively read comics for the most part, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are you on a scale, what would you grade the totality of everything that they've done to up to this point? I'm talking about movies and shows. Like, if you had to average, you know, all of your likes and dislikes, where does your grade land? Because I haven't seen everything. I haven't seen every movie. I haven't seen every show. So my, and I don't, I'm sure you've seen more than I have, not necessarily everything. But I feel like your body of work is more, or it's a little more complete than mine. What would you grade everything, the quality of everything that they've put out so far?
I mean, when you talk about quality, I also have to talk about the length of time. They've been doing this for 15 years now, since 2008. Like, no movie studio has ever done this. Like, made a cinematic universe that's lasted this long. And, like, we come to quality, like, there are some movies I love with all my heart. There are some that I'm good with and will watch repeatedly. And then there's some I've seen once or twice and maybe never get back in. There's only been two movies. I'm trying to think. There have been two movies I haven't seen, and that's Thor, The Dark World, and Eternals. Those are the only two I haven't seen.
Have you, did y'all see the Marvels?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I don't care. Okay. Soon I get paid, I will make a trip out there because I am interested. I want to see for myself. So it's only been two movies that I've never seen. There's one movie that I've seen once, and I don't know when I'm going to see it again because it hurts, and that's Wakanda Forever.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That movie, it's just a knife to the throat. That first time, the beginning and the end, I cried and I was like, all right. And then every other movie I can go on Disney Plus or whatever and watch. Like, I think if people talk about this era, phase 4 and phase 5, like, people focus too much on the things they missed on. It's like, okay, you complaining about what Falcon and Winter Soldier, what movies came out? Quantumania,
Guardians 3.
That's what I was getting to. It's like you complain about the things they missed, but you completely ignore the things that they hit on. Guardians 3 was a hit. Spider-Man No Way Home was a hit. Wakanda Forever was a hit. Like Wakanda Forever, Angela Bassett got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like there, and Loki has been great. I'm not gonna sit here and say that this phase that we're in right now hasn't been, I'm not gonna say it's been the greatest phase, like phase three or anything, but I knew it was gonna be a low. We were coming back, like it's a roller coaster ride. Phase two, mm-hmm. phase one was the build, phase two was going up, and phase three, we're at the top. And now you have to come back down and then go back up to you know, four or five, to go back up to six. Like that's what it is.
Right.
Would you say it makes sense to me because I'm a comic book, so I know comic books, they have their big crossover events, and then when the event is over, everybody goes does their own stuff into the next crossover event. It's a roller coaster ride. That's what it always has been, always will be.
So you yourself say you have, so it doesn't sound like you have Marvel fatigue, which is kind of a thing that people talk about now. I mean, it's more and more, I feel like.
Yeah, and I always wonder, what do the people mean by Marvel fatigue?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you just tired of the movies? Because you can't sit, because every movie is different. Like,
yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy versus Captain America versus Iron Man, like, versus Shang-Chi. Like, those are, like, four completely different movies. And Spider-Man, no way, like they're all different, like genres within, they're all different genre movies with a superhero glaze.
Mm-hmm.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy is about your family, your found family. Spider-Man, No Way Home, Spider-Man, it's like it's a child learning how to be a superhero, finding a mentor. That mentor dies. How do you respond to that? And compared to the Iron Man, not the Iron Man, but the Ant-Man movies, which are heist movies.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, honestly, it's just cool for people to, if you get too popular, people turn on you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we'll see that whenever the MCU finally ends, people will hype up something else until they hate it. It's just how things run in America. Like we love it until we hate it, and then once it's dead, people will turn around and say, "Oh, you remember this and that? You remember how great it was?" It's like, but you hated it. No, I was just being critical. No, we have video evidence of you going on YouTube saying that the MCU sucked and it was too focused on women, blah, blah, blah. But when it ends, people be like, oh, you remember how great it was? That's what's going to happen. And I would say the MCU, like this first, it had the last couple of years, there are two things that happened that no one could expect that really hurt. One of them was COVID,
because mm-hmm.
that completely threw off their plans. Like America Ferrer, America Chavez, she wasn't even supposed to originally pop up in Doctor Strange. She was supposed to be in No Way Home. She was supposed to one that had the ability to do portals. That instead they gave that power to Ned.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, and some movies got put out. You know, movies got put out of order because of the COVID. Who could film? Who couldn't film? All that stuff. So COVID fucked everything up. And the number two thing, Chadwick Boseman passing away.
Right, right. He definitely would have been a central figure.
Not just a central figure. He would have been the leader. He was going to be the leader of Avengers. The next class of Avengers would have been Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And once the leader, you can't do the leader where he dies, everything's a scramble. Like,
yeah.
Kevin Feige found out about Chadwick's, that Chadwick was dying of cancer like an hour before we all found out.
It was that soon? It was that close?
Yeah, because it was completely under wraps. No one knew about it until it was gone.
Jeez.
Yeah. So you have some major like that. You have a major virus that's running around killing millions of people, and then the guy that you chosen to be the head of your movie franchise passes away. Hey, no shit, things are a little crazy right now. They're still trying to scramble to get things right.
Dang.
And like I said earlier, no other movie studio has ever done this. Think of the franchises around. James Bond makes a movie, once every 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
We just finished with the Daniel Craig saga, and now no one knows what's happening next.
Right.
Like, look at DC and their dumpster fire. They've already had to reboot their universe, and it's still fucking confusing as far as what their future is going to be. Star Wars. Like, say what you want. Like, 4, 5, and 6, great. The prequels, I'm not a fan of those, but some of the younger generation love those, so they're divisive. The sequels, definitely divisive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what other franchises out there can you name?
Not many.
No.
I mean, honestly, Bond was the only one that came to mind, and I kind of forgot about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'll give him a pass for doing something that no one has ever done and being so successful. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean, it's. You know, arguably the most successful franchise in movie history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People can say whatever they want. When Deadpool 3 hits and it makes $1 billion, they're like, oh, Marvel's back. It's like, it's always been back. And but the Marvels right now, it's not doing well. I guarantee that's going to be a movie. Like, when it hits Disney Plus, you're going to see a bunch of people going, oh man, I know this was so good. This has so heat. Why didn't anyone tell me about it?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee that right now. Because all the nerds I trust who've gone to see it love it. That's just my 2 cents. I'm not too worried about what Marvel does. I think they're still successful. We hadn't even gotten to the big players. Like, we haven't seen a Fantastic Four movie, and we still haven't seen the X-Men.
Right.
When the X-Men drop and we get those movies coming out, you're not going to hear anyone complain about it. Like, have they lost their fastball? We've been waiting for a good X-Men movie since First Class.
Yep. I'll give you that. First Class. Going on 10 years now, I think.
That's crazy. Oh, God, we're old. Yeah. I ain't worried about it. They're going to play that Trump card. And that'll be that, man.
Wow, 2011. Never mind.
12 years and counting.
12, yeah.
Yeah.
See, folks, do it all. We talk about geek stuff. We can also talk about sports.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk about sports.
Last thing I want to say is, if you're over here saying that Marvel was in trouble after that Variety article, tell me what the fuck's happening at DC. That's their biggest competition. They can't even get Superman right.
Man,
we've had 3 Ant-Man movies. We got 1 Superman movie.
And the way, like, Warner Brothers Discovery is, like, the way that things are going with that entire organization. I mean,
You saw
they might lose their confidence. Yeah.
They canned another movie, that Wile E. Coyote movie that John Cena was in. They canned that one for tax purposes.
I mean, who's to say it might not? I mean, it's not. I don't think it's totally crazy to predict that, or to, you know, or say, at least say, what if, you know, they decided to just scrap comic book movies altogether?
Who, DC?
Yeah, well, the Warner Brothers.
Oh, Warner Brothers? Man, the rumor I heard is, like, they're trying to cut costs as far as the DC, so they can sell it to, like, Apple or Amazon.
Yeah, that's a whole different, that's a real mess, like, an actual mess.
Yeah, you're talking about Marvel and the MCU, their windows closing, but it's like, bitch, at least we got a window. DC, they ain't got no window because the whole house burnt down.
Yeah.
So that's probably enough nerd talk. You want to talk about a little football?
Man, I'm ready.
All right. We'll talk about the
Texas. We are officially at the halfway point?
A little past, but that's all right. I saw everyone, all NFL media, doing their mid-season review stuff, talking about all the predictions they got right or wrong. I was like, maybe we should do that too. It worked because I had nothing else for today. This might have been 100% Marvel heavy if it wasn't for everyone from ESPN to SI to The Athletic talking about the mid-season NFL previews. Yeah. And speaking of all the media, I want to say this. Thank you all for jumping on the Texans hype train. I've seen so many CJ Stroud articles, and I don't think they've talked this much about the Texans since the Predator was here. All I can say is thank you. Keep showering the team with praise. Thank you.
Honestly,
I love it.
I don't remember them talking about the Texans this much, even during that time. I mean, because he too, was... Huh? I mean, you know, he definitely had moments and was definitely a top quarterback, but, like, he wasn't making
the right headlines.
I
think we're doing a little revisionist history. When he was here, Deshaun Watson was cold. He was very, very.
Of course, no. Yeah, absolutely. But I've seen at least two segments on the Texans on, like, First Take. For one, I don't remember. I'd have to go back and see if there's any, you know, discussions about Deshaun Watson prior to all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah, but I mean, regardless, I mean, it's refreshing to see the Texans in the news, in the headlines. Almost totally positive, you know. That was a bad loss 2 weeks ago against the then 0-7 Panthers. But they have rebounded completely and are now over 500. They're 5-4 after today's game.
Yes, today's game, a nail biter that shouldn't have been.
Oh, boy. Shouldn't have. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Beating the Cincinnati Bengals 30-27. CJ Stroud again with the
near perfect game.
Yeah, game winning drive at the end. Give for the Matt Amendola walk off field goal.
Matt Amendola, formerly of the XFL's Houston Roughnecks.
Yes. Yeah, I heard it was an XFL kicker. I was like, oh, who cares? Then I heard he kicked for the Roughneck. I was like, oh, this guy's got something.
Right.
Yeah, that was a super entertaining game. The game of the day.
Yeah. It was, all the highs and lows you could want in a football game took place. Like, you know, the opening drive, yeah, they gave up the touchdown. You're like, ah, okay. But that's okay. It's still early. You know, it's kind of expected. But even then, like, they almost stopped them on third down. Or they stopped them on third down, and then they converted on fourth and goal, I think. Or it was like, yeah, something like that. And they got the touchdown when it looked like they were going to stop them on fourth down. And then they came back, what, two drives later, tied the game, and just kind of dominated from the, what, end of the quarter through most of the third, all of the third?
Yeah, basically, after the Bengals scored that first touchdown, they punted the ball, like, I think it said five consecutive drives. Like, after that first touchdown, the Texans defense came to play, and man, I gotta say it really shouldn't have been that close.
I mean, man, like, you know, the fourth quarter, I still don't understand. I mean, I guess I see your point, because I asked you why would you on consecutive series or consecutive drives throw the ball on third down when you should be trying to eat the clock up? And at worst, you got to punt. Like, you know, that second drive where they gave up the interception to set up first and goal. If you didn't convert on third down, all you'd have to do is punt. I don't know why you wouldn't run the ball then.
Also, even if you decide to pass the ball, if you don't see anything's there, just go down.
Yeah.
Like, you still eat up clock. Like, maybe you're 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. But as long as the clock keeps running, that's all that matters.
100%.
But also, see the point. I also was going to see the Texan point, like, well, people, like, last podcast we were calling CJ Stroud a top 10 quarterback, correct? Like, top 10 guys do top 10 guy stuff. The interception wasn't great. It was a lazy pass that the Cincinnati defender just went up there and plucked. And then on the second possession, like, that would have been the catch if the Cincinnati cornerback didn't make an amazing reach to bat the ball away from Tank Dell. So sometimes you just got to tip your hat to other guys and say, you came to play, which is what Cincinnati did in the second half.
And look, you know, I think it's important to point out some of the miscues, some of the things that went wrong en route to, you know, ultimately the victory, which is all that matters, of course. And it was, again, a near perfect game from Stroud. I mean, minus the interception. I wouldn't even say the fumble, you know, I wouldn't even put that on him. I mean, it was just a bad handoff.
Yeah, sometimes that happens when, you know, you've gone through four centers in five games, you know, things like that.
But, I mean, other than that, 350-plus passing yards, a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, you know, not having your number one receiver in Nico Collins, who was out for the game, not having Damian Pierce, and watching Singletary emerge as what, option one at the running back?
The only option. Let's talk about that. The Houston running game actually showed up once. It's like, I think their first 100-yard rusher since last year.
Yeah.
But Singletary ended up with 30 carries for 150 yards.
Jeez. It was impressive.
Very much.
The defense showing up, man, the entire game.
Well, some people, I want Petrie and Perryman delivering Amazon packages tomorrow. Denzel Perryman should be my UPS driver. No, someone else's UPS driver. I don't trust that man with my mail.
Are you talking about the late hit?
Not just the late, like that last Cincinnati possession where they had that, I think it was a 46 yard catch.
Right.
It's like those like next off season, I can already tell that the Texans are going to be looking for safety help, safety and cornerback help.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were too many times where Cincinnati's wide receivers either got completely booty butt naked open, were able just to beat the coverage, or like when the Texans defenders were there, like just missed tackle after missed tackle. Like that Jalen Petrie, it was third and short, and he had Mixon like dead to rights in the backfield and just whiffed on the tackle, and Mixon was able to get the first.
Right.
Giving up plays, like short yards plays, fine. But when short yards turns into long yardage because your defenders can't tackle, it's making me sick, man. Sick to my stomach.
Yeah, and you know, the defensive line getting to Burrow, I mean, was it a combination of just not making the tackles and Burrow just being a lot stronger than we're aware of? Because this guy was breaking tackles left and right. And
well, we talk about CJ Stroud being a top 10 quarterback, like Joe Burrow's a top 5. Like,
oh, for still, sure. Yeah.
He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, just ignore what happened at the beginning of the season when he was hurt. He's still pretty damn good. Like I said, the defensive line, the Texans looked really good. Like, they were able to get into the backfield a lot. They sacked. How many times did they sack?
I think they got him once.
Oh, no, they got him more than once. 4 sacks.
Okay.
Jonathan Grenard had 1. Sheldon Rankins had 3.
Dang.
On the Texans side, CJ Stroud was only sacked 1 time.
Oh, okay. I read the graphic differently than when, because I saw 4 and 1, and I, okay. That's where I got that number.
Like, I got no complaints about the front 7 of the Texans defense. Those boys back there in the secondary, I got a lot of questions for. Like, Stingley came back and it doesn't look like it made much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. They are very fortunate that they're not having to rely on Will Anderson right now.
Oh, man.
He's coming along, and, you know, they're letting him develop, basically. Just get in
Will
reps. Will
Anderson is making all the pressures that you want. He's just not getting to the quarterback. Like, it's going to come. And when it comes, it's going to come in bunches.
Like, and this is the time to do it. I mean, he's being helped by the rest of the defensive line. You know, Rankin, like you said, got 3 sacks on his own. Like,
yeah. And there was one play. It was when Cincinnati had the ball, it was 5-on-5. Texans only sent 5 rushers. And Will Anderson is literally handling 2 guys at once, and that opened up another one of the Texans players to get a sack on Burrow. So Anderson's doing all he can as a rookie to try to get to the quarterback, and he's not getting there, but he's opening up opportunities for other Texans defenders.
Right. I mean, it was a pretty complete victory. I mean, with the exception of giving up points late in the game, but getting to the quarterback 4 times, picking him off twice, the offense, you know, the Stroud throwing the ball for over 350 yards, you know, the rushing attack, you know, running for 150, you said.
Singletary 150.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a pretty complete game. Nevertheless.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those games coming in. You're like, we're going to see where the Texans should rank within the NFL hierarchy, depending on what happens after this game. And they're a good team.
Yeah.
I think the way I described them in a podcast earlier this year was they're fun but flawed. And that's, I think that still stands. Like, they're a very fun team to watch offensively and defensively. They do make the mistakes, like the fumbles today, missed tackling, things like that. But you're going to have fun watching a Texans game, which is something that we haven't been able to say in 3 years.
At least, yeah. And, you know, look, he gave up the interception, but, you know, it's late in the game. But yeah. Other than that.
That interception did hurt. That made that game way closer because they scored a touchdown off of that.
Yeah, I mean, I only say that now just because, you know, we ultimately got the win. But, yeah, obviously, if we'd lost, it'd be my tune would be much different, of course. But but overall, like, what I saw most, or what I liked most about what I saw in this game, was Stroud went into that stadium, went into that environment, went up against that quarterback, and maintained really good poise throughout. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem to be affected at all by, you know, a rabid fan base like that, that, you know, is enjoying their team's that's enjoyed their team on the come up, you know, after a rough start to begin the season. Like, enjoying that fan base is watching their team hit their stride up until this game after that rough start. And the pressure of going up against a top five rated quarterback and holding his own and ultimately getting the win. I mean, I think all those things were huge. And kind of like, you know, didn't take a step back from, you know, a record setting performance the week before, where, you know, that's in the past and you had to forget about it. Like, it was an amazing moment. It was an amazing game for him, you know, record setting, all that stuff, getting the win at the end. But by no means did he hold on to that. You know, he showed that he's not this kind of guy that is about yesterday. He's about today and moving forward and, you know, and getting the job done that's in front of him. And he did, ultimately, not perfectly, but, you know, ultimately got the job done.
Yep, that boy got ice in his veins. It was necessary. All right.
So the Texans are 5-4?
5-4. They are
second in the division?
They are a game behind Jacksonville. Jacksonville lost today against the 49ers. I think they
got whooped by the 49ers.
Let me see. 34-3.
Yeah.
See what happens when you get your bye week and get all your health, your great players back.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Texans, again, they didn't fuck off those games against the Falcons and the Panthers. They'd be in first right now in the division.
Right.
All right. We're at the halfway point or a little bit past it. Let's go look back at these predictions that we made at the beginning of the season, see how we feel about them, see where we were right, see where we were dead wrong, and grade ourselves. All right, we'll start with the NFC or the AFC?
NFC.
All right, NFC. All right. So in the NFC South, we both picked the Saints to win this division, and we both picked the under 9.5. Let me go to the South right now. Look at the South. So right now, the Saints are leading that division at 5-5. The Falcons are both the Falcons and the Bucks are a game behind at 4-5, and the Panthers 1-8, blah blah blah.
About to give up that number one pick.
Yeah.
Back to Chicago.
Back to Chicago.
Saints are tracking. They're tracking towards a successful prediction on our part.
The Saints lost today, 27-19 against the Vikings. Buccaneers won 20-6 against the Titans. And the Falcons are in a dogfight right now, 17-15 against the 1-8 Cardinals.
But it's still such a bad division that I think our prediction should hold up.
I don't know. When I went over prediction earlier, I was looking, I was like, I definitely feel confident about that under. I don't feel confident in the Saints winning, though. Like, whoever wins this division is going to win like 8 or 9 games, like no more than that. It may be the Saints, it could be the Falcons, could be the Buccaneers. I gotta see who is playing quarterback for the Falcons. Is the Rid Man back? Nope, it's Tyler Haneke. Who's the best quarterback in this division?
Is it the man, the myth, the legend, Taysom Hill? Or is it Baker?
I think it's maybe Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Was Derek Carr hurt? Did he not play?
He played. He was 13 for 18, 110 yards. I don't know why he left out to check. But Jameis Winston came in and immediately did Jameis Winston things.
13. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yep.
Or as I like to call him, Even Steven.
All right, I see. David Carr forced out in the third quarter with a concussion and a shoulder injury.
Dang.
Jameis may be starting their next game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's have a bye week. Let's see what week 11 looks like for the... Let's say... they're off next week. So
that's good for everybody involved then.
That's good for viewers who are tired of watching the Saints. Next week, the bye weeks, Falcons, Colts, Falcon, Colts, Patriots, Saints.
Wait, who's that for?
The bye week next week.
Oh, I got you. All of those teams could use a bye week for sure at this point.
Yeah. Man, so you still feel confident in the Saints? Yeah, exactly. Would you like to see the Saints schedule for the rest of the year before you answer that question?
I can pull it up.
I got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we already said they're off next week. After that, they're at the Falcons, then home for the Lions, home for the Panthers, home for the Giants, at the Rams, at the Bucks, and they finish the season home against the Falcons.
It is going to be close because division games are always going to be tough. Doesn't matter how good or bad most teams are, they're usually going to be pretty tough.
They already lost to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Week 4.
Mm-hmm. They got blown out too, 26-9.
Again, I'm confident that the winner of this division is only going to win 8 games. I'm not confident of who the hell it's going to be. Like, honestly, right now, I kind of feel the Bucks, but I do not feel confident in a Baker Mayfield led team.
Right.
So you want to stick with that? We're going to stick with that.
Might have to go with the Bucks. I mean, they are. I don't know. I'll stick with the Saints for now.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. Let's stick with the Saints. Moving to the next division, NFC North. We both picked the Lions over 9 wins.
Been pretty good so far.
Someone play the Tony, because it feels good. Lions currently lead their division 6-2. The Vikings are 6-4. Packers 3-6, Bears 3-7.
Yeah, hats off to Joshua Dobbs, man. Two wins in a row for Minnesota.
Yes, and as we speak, the Lions are taking on the Chargers. Oh God,
it's like a tie game.
That's a nope. The Lions just went up. They just scored a touchdown.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, 30-24. That is anything can happen in that game. 31-24. Now they just made the PAT.
You're right. Anything could happen, but as long as the Lions win, my prediction's looking still pretty good.
All right. Yeah, you're right. Man, I think that was the only team that we were confident in.
I'll tell you this. You know, I said hats off to Joshua Dobbs. I think if he continues to play well, he might make it interesting for the Vikings. Ultimately, I still think our prediction will hold up. But if he keeps playing the way he's playing, he played today and he played last week, while still only, you know, while better learning the offense as he goes along, could be interesting.
I thought you say while better learning his receivers' names.
That too. That is one of my favorite stories of all time, is that he barely knew anybody's names on the team. And they were having to tell him how to run the routes and how to run the plays. Like, on the field.
It was literally street football. You know, you get the guys together. You're like, you go here. You go up here and take this left in Miss Henderson's car. Yeah. Good times. You're the fastest.
Probably why he
guy.
Did so well. It's just, just a throwback to playing loose as a kid.
There's also got to be something like when you get on the field and you're like, no one can expect anything from me. I don't know anything. There's got to be a liberating feeling to be out there.
But like overall, I mean, the Lions, if you look at the Lions, like they've got the Bears coming up, the Packers, at the Saints in December, at the Bears, at home against the Broncos, at the Vikings on Christmas Eve, at the Cowboys on the day before New Year's Eve, and then finishing the season at home against the Vikings. I mean, that's not an easy schedule by any means, but it's still a winnable schedule if you look at those Bears and Packers games and maybe even the Broncos. So I still feel confident in my prediction about Detroit. And I look at Minnesota and I mean their remaining schedule is kind of on par with the Lions as well. So in terms of difficulty. But I still feel confident about the Lions pulling it out.
Yeah.
As long as they win today. As long as they hold on to the lead today.
Yeah. If they lose today, I'll be like, it's the Chargers. They're the chaos emerald.
Right.
You just nothing goes right when they're around. They just bring problems and despair. But I'm with you with the Lions. I still think they're really good. I think they're gonna win this division. As far as the Vikings go, as long as Dobbs keeps playing well, I think they're going to be in contention for a wild card spot.
Yes.
And then the other two teams, the Packers and the Bears. We might have to look at the 2021 draft and just say no one knows how to coach quarterbacks. Let's see. The quarterbacks picking in that draft. Number one overall, Trevor Lawrence. Then after that, Zach Wilson went second to the Jets. Trey Lance went third to the 49ers. They got traded to the Bears, I believe. Oh, no. They traded up to get Trey Lance. I'm thinking the wrong person. Justin Fields went 11th to Chicago. Mac Jones 15th to the Patriots. And then all the way down in the third round, the Texans got Davis Mills. How many times do we actually get only one good quarterback out of a draft? It seems like something that doesn't happen. I was like, usually we get two, sometimes maybe in three. Like, they don't all have to be Hall of Famers, but at least playable quarterbacks. There's a bunch. I just named what, six, seven quarterbacks. Only one of them is good.
Yeah, I mean, what year was that again?
21. 2 years ago.
Man. I think it happens a little more often than we think, because if you look at 2022, that's not a great it's not a great draft class for quarterbacks either.
I gotta see it. Looking. Who the pick that? Oh Lord. Maybe it was COVID.
Maybe it might have been.
Maybe the post COVID drafts, we need to give a mulligan to some of these teams, give them an extra draft pick in the future. 2022 draft. Kenny Pickett went 20th overall to the Steelers. Desmond Ridder went the third round to the Falcons. Malik Willis, Titans, Matt Corral to the Panthers, Bailey Zappe to the Patriots. Yeah, you know, I just think that was a bad quarterback class overall. I mean, we only had one go in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who went in the seventh round looks better than all these guys. Brock Purdy.
Right.
My apologies. Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant, yep.
Man. You need a quarterback in 2022. You went to the draft. You just had to roll over and be like, we'll just take the defensive lineman and try again.
Yeah.
All right. So we're both high on the Lions.
Yes. Still. Yeah.
Moving to the NFC West, we had a little difference of opinion. I had the 49ers winning, but under 11.5 wins. You had the Seahawks winning over 8.5.
And if we look, confident the Seahawks will get the over 8.5 wins.
Yeah, they're 5-3 as we speak.
But winning that division, I don't know, man. I could use a couple of more bad weeks from the 49ers, like they did the past two or three. That might help my prediction, but
yeah. Well, like
49ers are looking pretty good, though.
Yeah. 49ers crushed the Jags today. Seahawks are tied at 9 in the third quarter with the Commanders. So, I don't know. If y'all can't blow up the Commanders, it might be scary hours when you're predicting.
But San Francisco does have a pretty tough schedule, you know, remaining. Next week against, or 2 weeks. But yeah, next week against the Bucks. Two more games against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
A December game at Philadelphia. A Monday night game, Christmas night at home against Baltimore. Yeah.
I feel like at the end of the season, we'll know if Brock Purdy is good or not.
Right. And then at home, or on the road at Arizona, at Washington, and at home against the Rams, three games throughout the stretch. But, man, those two games against the Seahawks, game against the Eagles, and at home at against the Ravens, I mean, those are four really tough games.
Yeah.
So it'll make our predictions, I think, a little more interesting down the stretch.
Very much so. I still feel good about the 49ers winning the division.
Go ahead.
I said, the only question is, can Brock Purdy hold up?
Yeah.
He's got his weapons back. You know, that bye week was, it came at the right time for everyone to come back healthy. But man, you talk about two against the Seahawks and no one against the Rams, like, against the Raiders, not the Raiders, damn it, against Ravens. The Ravens. I got my R teams messed up. Yeah. That's going to be some hard-hitting affairs. And when you mm-hmm. have those those games where it's just beat 'em up football. Like, it's not just that game that you pay for. You also pay for it in the following games.
Oh, yeah.
But they're a physical team, and the Seahawks are as well. So are the Ravens. It would not surprise me if the 49ers flame out in playoffs because they're just beaten up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two teams at division, the Rams, 3-6, the Cardinals, 1-8.
Yeah, they're.
Let's see about them.
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah. One of us thought they were. One of us put the Rams in the wild card position, and doesn't that look foolish? Moving on, the last division, the NFC East. We both picked the Eagles over 10.5 wins, and right, I have to say, I'd be feeling pretty good about that.
They're Eagles, flying. They're flying to it.
Yeah, Eagles currently 8-1. Did they play this week, or did they have the bye week? This is their bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Who had off? Chiefs, Rams, Dolphins, and Eagles were all off this week. Let's see who else in that division. Cowboys 5-3, Commanders 4-5, and the Giants are 2-7. I believe the Cowboys are currently whooping the holy hell out of the Giants. Yep, 28-0 in the third.
Whew.
Bad times for them.
Yeah.
And they just lost Daniel Jones. He tore his ACL, so he's out for the rest of the year.
So yeah, so they're
basically
leaning on Tommy DeVito.
Every time I hear this name, I'm like, God, that is a great gangster name. He should be in the Goodfellas. Or...
I mean, he's from Jersey. He plays for the Giants. I mean, it couldn't, you know, like, there couldn't be a better pairing.
I'm not saying he knows how to hide a body, but I'm also not saying it.
Right.
So, feel really good about those Eagles. Cowboys, yeah. Like, that's the one, like, out of all the divisions in the NFC, I'm most confident in, like, Philadelphia winning their division. I think we can write it down. We can stamp it. It's happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Oh, and our wild card teams. So for me, I picked the Cowboys. Yay. The Rams. Boo. The Vikings. Yay. And for you, you picked the 49ers. Yay. Cowboys. Yay. And the Commanders. Yeah.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah. But your remains to be seen team is doing a hell of a lot better than my no chance in hell Rams. Quick look at Tankathon. So look, so right now it has the Cardinals winning the number one pick, who would then have to send that to Chicago.
Cardinals winning the number one pick?
No, the Carolina, the Panthers. That's Carolina. Okay. I'm sorry. Carolina, yeah, will get number one pick, and they had sent Chicago.
Right. So how does that work with will Chicago, could they wind up with number one and two?
Look at this Tankathon, it is mighty possible. Right now, the Tankathon, it has Chicago having the first pick and the fifth.
Okay.
Go to the top five, go Carolina to Chicago one, then the Cardinals, then the Patriots, Giants, and then the Bears again.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Man, that pick that the Texans have to send to the Cardinals is currently the 20th pick. Meanwhile, the pick they would get from the Browns is the 24th.
Go ahead.
If the Texans have a better record than the Browns, and they have to send the Cardinals like the 25th pick, but then in return to get like the Browns 18th, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Because I remember after the Texans made that trade in the draft, there's a whole bunch of analysts talking about how the Cardinals could end up with the first and second pick in this year's draft because the Texans were going to be so bad. I don't see that talk anymore.
No,
it's not mighty at all. Quiet. It's quiet hours out here for you Texans doubters.
Commanders went up 12-9 on the Seahawks.
He did?
Yeah.
I just got a touchdown from the Seahawks.
Oh, okay. I'm behind them. Yeah. There it is. 15-12.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, that's
soon to be 16.
A score gummy is happening in that game. All right, finish with the the NFC champs. I picked the Cowboys, you picked the Lions.
Still sticking with them. Although, man, I mean, let's be real. Philly is looking pretty NFC champion-y this year.
They're looking very Super Bowl-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. So you're sticking with Lions. I'll stick with the Cowboys. I don't feel that confident about it right now, but I will. Right. I'll stick with them. I understand my reasoning. Well, of course I understand my reasoning. I made it because I was like, oh, it's very hard to make it back to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. And the Cowboys look like this might be the year everything comes together. And we're sitting here at the halfway point and not much. All right, let's move over to the AFC. We can go ahead and start with the South. We both picked the Jacksonville Jaguars to win this division over 9.5 wins. They're currently in first place in the AFC South at 6-3. Texans 5-4. Colts 5-5. Titans 3-6. How confident are you? And A, Jacksonville getting to at least 10 wins, and B, them winning the South. Yeah.
Man,
you're feeling real homerish, aren't you?
Yeah, and look, I mean, I said this a couple weeks. I texted to you a couple weeks ago, but like about the Texans potentially, although very improbably, running the table, and then they lost immediately to Carolina, which put my theory to bed instantly. But I look at Jacksonville's remaining schedule. Look, they've already lost to the Texans.
I was going
to
say that second game is against the Texans is a must win for them.
And
it's in Houston.
That second game in 2 weeks, man, is no joke for Jacksonville. And then they still have to play the Bengals, who, even though they lost to the Texans today, they're still the Bengals, and they're still going to be a good team. The Browns look good today. They came back and won. The Ravens are the Ravens. That's another tough game. And then you got the Bucks, Panthers, and Titans at the end.
God, that is four very difficult games in a row for Jacksonville. Texans, I Bengals, agree. Browns, Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, suddenly 10 wins isn't a sure shot for them. Isn't a surefire thing for them. Mm-hmm. Winning the division isn't a surefire thing for them at this point. And that, again, that might sound homerish, but also I'm being realistic too. I don't think it's crazy to say it's a realistic, possibility.
I mean, you go over the Texans schedule. This is the game that I thought was going to be the most difficult for them.
Absolutely.
Going against the Bengals. And now it gets so much easier after the next week. It's the Cardinals and the Jags, Broncos, Jets, Titans, Browns, Titans, Colts.
I mean, those, like I said, the division games are always going to be tough. They're always going to be like hard-nosed, but they're all still very winnable at this point. But back to Jacksonville, because it's what we're leading off with, just because the current division leaders.
I'm looking at all these games that the Texans have left, and I think the only games they won't be the favorite in will be Jags and Browns. No, that's a home game, so they should be favored. Yeah, I think Jackson may be the only game that they're not favored in.
I would still favor them, though.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm just thinking of Vegas betting. I think the Jags will be favored over the Texans, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people still think the Jags are the best team in the AFC South, which I don't blame them. But yeah, I think they'll be favored. I think the Jags will be favored against the Texans. But every other game, Texans should be favored going in, especially if the CJ Stroud hype machine keeps firing away at all cylinders.
I don't blame anybody saying the Jags are the best team in the division.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the way the Texans have been playing the past 2 weeks, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's not a surefire thing that they are the best team in the division.
So you're sticking with Jags winning the division?
Woo! No, I'm going to go homer, and I'm going to say the Texans are going to win this division.
Oh, wow. All homer, no Simpson. So you're picking the Texans to win? I'm sticking with the Jags because the Texans are, like I said earlier, flawed, fun but flawed. Like they're going to trick away one of those games that they should win. They're going to trick away one of them. They've already done it twice this year.
Right. That is true.
Is this the one division where all four teams have a good starting quarterback?
Now they do, yeah. Because Will Levis looks pretty good now for Tennessee.
They lost today, 20-6. What did Mr. Levis do? Let me check the box score. That's our first game. He was like, okay, I'm just going to throw it deep to DeAndre Hopkins, and I hope he can find it.
Not a great game.
Nah. Only 199 yards with one interception. It's not great. He's definitely one of those guys who looks the part.
Yes. Jeez. You're not kidding.
So maybe going into next year, we have all four quarterbacks young and hit, because right now Stroud looks the best out of the four.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to say when you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence in the division, but they've all had their peaks and valleys this season. Trent, Anthony Richardson, before he got hurt, he was looking real good.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Hopkins is down there, Will Levis will figure it out.
And considering the Colts lost Richardson, or having to rely on Gardner Minshew again.
The shoe,
he's back. Gardner Minshew is like opening Pandora's box, because the first time he got introduced to the league, that was it. Like there is no turning back. He's going to find a way to be on some team and lead some team some way. It's just, he's becoming inevitable almost. because he gets these moments where it's just like, here we go again.
He's the new Fitzmagic.
Yes, I think that's very fair.
All right, a little disagreement, so that's fine. Speaking of disagreement, we're going to the AFC North. You picked the Bengals to win division over 11 and a half games. I picked the Ravens over 8.5.
You know, it's amazing that any team wins over 11 games. Like, I remember those Steelers teams that would go 13-3, 12-4. The way this division is built, man, it's astounding that any team wins more than 10 games. And I think that's kind of the root of my projection is just like, look, somebody's going to do it. I don't know how, but they usually do it. But man, it is another tough year for the NFC or AFC North. Like,
it's like they put
four teams are still in it.
They put four prize fighters inside of an octagon ring and threw some 2x4s down and said, all right, whoever the last guy surviving is gets $1 million. Have fun.
Right.
Let's see. The Ravens are currently 7-3. Two more games that I hit my over. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers 6-3. How?
Somehow. Look, Mike Tomlin could very well go down in history as the greatest coach of all time because he has never had a losing season. And
if he ever decides to leave Pittsburgh, someone should be standing at his front in his front yard with the 10-year, $100 million contract. No, it shouldn't even have that. It should just be blank years, blank money. Fill it in right. Yourself. Fill it in yourself, Mike. You deserve it. God damn, I had no idea this was 6-3 with Kenny Pickett.
This team just finds a way to be in the mix every year.
It's crazy.
They're doing it without Ben Roethlisberger. They were doing it with an old, banged up Ben Roethlisberger. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, they just do it. They just find a way every year to be in the mix. It's astounding.
It's crazy. The Cleveland Browns also 6-3, and the Cincinnati Bengals are 5-4.
Which is still respectable. Cleveland beat Baltimore today, which is, you know, going to make things interesting down the stretch.
The Steelers beat the Packers 23-19 today.
Yeah.
And who's this?
The Bengals. They lost to Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. So my prediction of them winning the division over 11.5 is not looking great.
Let's see. They got to get to 12 to hit your over, which means they would have to go, what's that? Can they possibly 7-1?
And they play at Baltimore, home against Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, home against the Colts, home against the Vikings, at Pittsburgh, at KC, and home against the Browns. I mean, they still I'll cede my concede my loss. I'll take the L on that one.
They still got four AFC North games. God damn. Not to mention the Chiefs. Oh, they could be don't get beat up decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel great about the Ravens. I wish they had won today against the Browns, but other than that, I'm fully behind this team. Like, the one thing I missed, I should have predicted Lamar Jackson as MVP.
Right.
Besides that, I feel great in my mind. 10 out of 10. No complaints. Would you like to change teams?
You mean jump on the Baltimore train?
I mean, shit, jump on the Steelers train.
But you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Steelers win the division somehow. Wow. What the hell? I've already taken a loss in this division anyways.
I'll say 5-4, they're only two games behind the Ravens. It's not like they can't make a run and win the division. They just need to win those, you know, those four AFC North games they have left, which is a very daunting task. And
yeah,
if the Ravens keep losing people,
if anything, it's going to make for some very fun football down the stretch. Yeah. All right, I'll stick with the Bengals, but I don't see them winning. I don't see them going 8-1
down the stretch. 7-1.
7-1.
That's all the games we have left. You fully fooled. I tricked you. You could have jumped on Steelers. You'd have been champ. All right, moving on. AFC East. We both picked the Bills and the over at 10.5. Where's the East? All right, there we go. So currently, the Miami Dolphins lead this division at 6-3. The Buffalo Bills are 5-4. Jets 4-4. And the New England Patriots are 2-8.
Buffalo plays tomorrow night, Monday night, against the at home against the Broncos.
Boo! Man, these primetime games have been ass lately. Like, who decided?
Chicago's gotten two primetime games already this year.
The Raiders,
a Thursday and a Sunday night.
The Raiders have had either two or three. In fact, mm-hmm. I think the Raiders had two back to back because they got the NBC game tonight, and I think they had the Monday Night Football last week.
No, it was the Jets at the Monday Night Football last week.
Right.
We're talking about the East, right? Let me say, okay, real quick side note. I watched that Jets-Chargers Monday Night Football game last week.
Why?
You know why I watched that game? That awful mess of a game?
Well, there's only two reasons I can think of. Either A, you have fantasy football players involved in the game, or B, you gambled heavily on that game. And in or either C, case, I pray for your immortal soul.
We go option C. I started watching the Manning cast, and I couldn't stop. It was that good. Those two guys are so good that I stuck around to finish watching that terrible game. I really enjoyed watching the Manning cast that much, where I was just like, hey, I should put it on. I should definitely put it on something else, like anything else. I should watch, like, politics or something. Like, this game is so bad.
Oh, I'm looking at
and
the,
I didn't.
I'm looking at the Raiders schedule. I messed up. It wasn't last week they played on Monday Night Football. It was the Monday before. The Monday before Halloween. They've had they've had two Monday Night Football games, a Sunday Night Football game tonight, and then they also have a Thursday Night Football game in week 15. That's December 14th because the Chargers. Who the hell decided to give the Raiders four primetime games? It's crack. All right. What the hell are we talking about? Back to this, to the
AFC East.
The AFC East. Yeah. So how are you feeling? I get back to the scoreboard real quick. Is anybody from the AFC East playing? The Jets play tonight.
New England lost again.
Yeah, New England lost. The Dolphins are on break and the Bills play Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, they're technically, what, a game back? A game and a half back, I guess, on Miami. I still think they can win the division. What was the over-under?
10.5. So they had to go 6-3? No.
I think it's 6-2. They play the Broncos tomorrow night. They host the Jets. They're at Philly Thanksgiving weekend, which is going to be, it should be a really good game. They're at the Chiefs the following, or 2 weeks later. The Bills get the bye week. It looks like they get the bye week during the first week of December, which is really beneficial for them. Because I don't see it. I see a 11-26 against at Philly and then 12-10 at KC. So that means they're not playing on the weekend of 12-3, which is huge for that team.
Hey, man, really? Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're right. Their bye week is week 13.
That is crazy.
Widowmakers were. Have they already left Miami? Did they lose? All right, they beat Miami, so that's good. You need to get those wins against the teams that you're chasing. The last, yeah, their second Miami game is the last game of the season, Week 18.
Yeah. Man.
This team, the Bills, is just, they're like the Texans, flawed but fun to another level. They lost that week one game against New York, the Jets, when Aaron Rodgers went out. They also fucked up against the Patriots in week 17, lost that 29-25.
Week seven.
They should be better than what they are.
Absolutely.
A lot of that has to do with Josh Allen going back to his YOLO days and just making mistakes. They're easily intercepted. He's got 9 interceptions. We are he's averaging 1 a game. It just feels like they're stuck in second gear, man. I thought this would be one of those teams, you know, to get Von Miller back in the defense. Is able to pick it up and show off, and the team has not been what anybody expected coming into the year.
Yeah, and the Dolphins are looking good. I mean, you know, they lost that game in Germany against the Chiefs last week. They lost to the Eagles 2 weeks before that. Blown out by the Bills. I don't know. They're kind of all over the place. Where I feel, now, like,
I'll tell you what the Dolphins are. They are the team that can beat up the bad teams but can't beat the good teams. Look at who they lost. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Bills, lost to the Eagles, lost to the Chiefs, and look at the teams they blown out. Blew out the not Chargers. They blew out the Broncos, blew out the Giants, Panthers, and Patriots. All those were double digit wins, and all those teams stink.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And their schedule is pretty favorable going down the stretch.
Yeah. The only good teams they have left are the Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But if you win the next, what's that, 5 games? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you're 11-3 going into those last 3 games, shit, you could lose all 3 and still end up in the playoffs. Right. You could lose all 3 and still end up winning the division.
I mean, it's a two horse race at this point.
Mm-hmm. So are you sticking with the Bills or are you jumping off?
No, I'm gonna stick with the Bills. It's still close enough.
Yeah, me too. I just don't trust the Dolphins. Like, maybe they put it together, maybe by the end of the season they're able to beat the good teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want to chance it right now. Give me the Bills. And we'll move on to the last.
Oh, one last thing about the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be a very pretty high draft pick. Is this the end of Belichick in New England this season?
I've seen rumors like it's going to be, at the end of the year, they're just going to mutually decide to you know, split.
Right. Is it time, would you say? It feels like it. It really feels like it, but you know how some of these guys, they just can't let go, especially when they have all that power.
Yeah, because I don't know what happens after he leaves the Patriots. I'm sure there's going to be other people who would take him in with open arms, but there's definitely going to be some restrictions. I mean, he's in his late 70s. You can't expect him to have his fastball for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the San Diego job opens up.
Possibly.
Especially if they go out sad in the playoffs again this year.
Yeah.
Old Bill Belichick living the good life in Los Angeles.
Right.
I said San Diego. I keep doing that. The Chargers.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. I'm old. We're all becoming our parents. All right. Last division, AFC West. We both took the Chiefs over 11 and a half wins. I'm not jumping ship no matter what. The Chiefs
I'm not jumping ship. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go through everybody's record. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I'm not jumping ship, but they don't feel like world beaters at this point.
All I can think about when I see the Chiefs is if they had signed, if they had signed DeAndre Hopkins, where would this team be?
Possibly world beater level.
Yeah. It just feels they're good. They're really good. One of the best teams in the division, if not all football. That Achilles heel that is their wide receiver is going to come back to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to cause them to lose the division. Let's go through it. Kansas City Chiefs currently 7-2, followed up by the Los Angeles Chargers 4-4. The Las Vegas Raiders 4-5, and the Denver Broncos 3-5.
I mean, this isn't even Kansas City's division to lose. Like, nobody is going to catch up to them at all.
The Chargers are tied with the Lions 38-all.
Woo!
Yeah, we'll see. Four
most quarter. Aren't going to catch up to the Kansas.
3.5 minutes left in the fourth. Who else are we looking for? The Raiders played tonight, unfortunately. And what was the last team? Damn, I forgot
Denver.
Denver played today, didn't they?
They play tomorrow night at Buffalo.
Okay. Who thought it was a good idea to get the Broncos out?
Well, they're playing Buffalo, so.
I don't know, man. This year, it's felt like if it's not the Texans, I'm not paying attention to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a product of the Texans actually being good. Because last year, I was like, I'm not watching football. These teams stink. The Texans stink.
Right.
Yeah. I wish the Chargers were better because Justin Herbert deserves more. If he was on any of the other, let's say, 20-some teams, excluding the ones at the top, like, if Herbert was like, let's just say he was on the Jets, they'd be like 7-1 right now. But the Chargers are cursed, have always been cursed, will always be cursed. The Raiders might be interesting now that they fired Josh McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos exist.
While, you know, while, again, this is, you know, it's all about the Chiefs in this division.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my whole thing about them right now is just, and you know, you said it because mostly because of the, you know, receiving game, they don't look like world beaters right now. It's almost like they're coasting to victories. It feels like it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I'm expecting high powered offense and it just hasn't really happened all year.
It's like how I said, the Bills are stuck in second gear. It's like the Chiefs are stuck in third. Like if the Chiefs and the Bills play each other, you expect the Chiefs to win, but the Chiefs play like the Eagles or the 49ers. You probably tug at your collar. And be like,
well, having said that, they have the bye week this week. Next Monday, they're hosting Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're on the road at Las Vegas. Then on the road at Green Bay. they host the Chiefs on December 20 or December 10th.
Who hosts the Chiefs?
England. The Chiefs host the Bills.
Oh, okay. You were talking about the Chiefs and you said the Chiefs host the Chiefs. I was like, huh?
Okay. Well,
Spring Ridge game?
they host the Bills. And they're at the Patriots, hosting the Raiders, hosting the Bengals on New Year's Eve. And then the final game of the season, they're at the Chargers. I mean, that Chiefs, Bills, and Bengals game, those Chiefs, Bills, and Bengals games are definitely going to be the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Packers, but probably not. You just hope they don't rest on their laurels against teams like the Packers, like the Raiders, like the Patriots, and kind of slip up. But
who are the two Chiefs losses to? It's the Lions and who?
Woo! That Lions, that's still my favorite score of the year. They lost to, who was it?
Oh, the Broncos.
Well, that's right, 24-9. Yeah. See, that's one of those games where you might get complacent because you're playing a team like the Broncos.
Well, that game, Mahomes was sick. Like, I think he didn't even play the first half, if I remember correctly.
Is that right? No, he played the whole game.
He did?
Yeah. 24-38 for 240.
Oh, he was sick, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes experienced flu-like symptoms, apparently catching a stomach bug from his wife and two children, who also got sick during the week. I don't even want to walk when I feel sick. I couldn't imagine trying to be out there and, you know, playing a high-level football game while trying, you know, you're planning everything, trying to throw to the receiver, trying not to get your head taken off.
Yeah.
So I'll throw that game away, man. You're the best player. Jordan got sick. Yeah. You're looking at these games. You think we're being a little too hard on the Chiefs?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, you expect a certain level of play from certain teams. And it's okay to question, you know, whether they're, you know, going to continue at that level or not. What was the over-under for them, though?
11.5.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Should get there.
And then you need five more. Yeah, sure. Did your cruise there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, wild card teams. For wild cards, I picked the Bengals, Chargers, and Jets. Feeling good about all of those right now. And you pick the Ravens, Steelers, and the Jets.
Are we feeling good about the Jets as a wild card team?
Is Aaron Rodgers really coming back to play?
I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to see this guy blow out his Achilles again, you know, for coming back too soon.
I'm looking right now at the wild card standings or playoff standings overall. The Jets are 12th in the AFC.
Yeah.
Only ahead of the Raiders, Broncos, Titans, and Patriots. The Texans are 7th, so they would be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, to the Jets' credit, they're 4-4. Everybody else, all the other teams that are from 7 to 11 are either 5-4 or 5-5 or 4-4. So it's like, yeah, I mean, the Jets could make it. I don't know, but that's a tough ask.
I mean, they win tonight, and they're 5-4, and they're right back up.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. It's not crazy, but it's not like we picked up to win the division or be the number one wild card. We picked them to be the 7th seed, which they're not. Yeah. They're only a half game out of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. NFC champ, we both picked the Chiefs.
overwhelmingly.
Yeah. And Super Bowl champs, we both picked the Chiefs. Feeling confident of both of those decisions?
Chiefs winning the championship?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, win the AFC and win the championship. Are you confident in both?
Okay, so winning the AFC, yes. Winning the championship, I don't know, man. I mean, if Philly or my Detroit Lions, like I said, could make it interesting. It's not a foregone conclusion. And you know, we're really, as much as we all overwhelmingly favored KC going into the season, you're right. I mean, not having a legitimate number one wide receiver is kind of hurting and starting to show. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Mahomes can't throw it to himself at this point.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, I'm thinking, I feel I'm not as confident as I was to begin the season.
Sure.
But also,
win it all.
To win the AFC, I kind of like the Ravens.
Ooh, okay.
But I'll be a coward. I'll stick with the Chiefs. And I'll stick with the Chiefs to win the AFC and to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's about... Oh, our last thing before we get up out of here. Our MVPs, we both picked Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Our MVPs not named Patrick Mahomes. You went with Joe Burrow. I went with Josh Allen.
Those aren't looking great.
Nope.
Right now, I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's going to be the case, but mm-hmm. right now, I got CJ Stroud number two.
I've seen such chatter pick up on social media. I'm not against it. I can't say anything. If I would change my MVP vote, it would have to go to Lamar Jackson.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? You're right. Never mind. Wait, I will take it back because Lamar is Lamar.
No. Because like you said that, and I've seen people talk about it online. I'm like, it's not crazy.
But here's the thing. I don't know why I keep forgetting about Lamar Jackson. They're 7-2. And as great as CJ Stroud is, as much as I am all in on CJ Stroud as being the guy, like, you know, the guy that's gonna, you know, turn this thing around for the Texans and quicker than it looks like quicker than we projected. Lamar still has his team at 7-2. And I keep forgetting
they're 7-3.
7-3. And I keep forgetting that he's in the mix. So I mean, I think I would still have Mahomes number one, then Lamar, and then Stroud number three. I you know, as much as I would love to see CJ Stroud number two, you can't disrespect Lamar and the fact that he currently has his team at the top of their division, you know, four games over 500. You know, those are things that Stroud hasn't done yet, you know, up to this point. And that's not a knock on him. That's just, you know, it's just what we're seeing right now, and that's fine. But what we're seeing from Stroud is incredible. But from, you know, Lamar obviously is definitely better at this point. I got to, like, leave a note on my computer or something. Lamar Jackson is a quarterback in the National Football League. Don't know why I keep forgetting that.
Just have a picture of Lamar looking sad, and underneath it's like, don't forget about me, Anthony.
Right.
All right. Yeah, like I said earlier, the CJ Stroud for MVP talk is getting a little bit, it's got a little buzz right now. And hey, I'm not hating it. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Josh
Allen. And at the end of the season, I think it's not crazy. It wouldn't be the craziest thing if CJ Stroud finished top 10 in votes. Not as, you know, unless somehow they run the table or something, you know, obviously he's not going to win and finish high, but, you know, when the season is done, I could definitely see him getting a vote from a writer or whoever, you know, votes for the MVPs.
Yeah, I feel like he already has the offensive rookie of the year locked up.
That's a lock. Yeah.
So the rest of the MVP votes, like, he'll get some down ballot votes, especially if the Texans sneak into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He will definitely get some votes. I'm looking at Lamar Jackson's numbers because I was looking up who has, like, what quarterbacks own the most yards and most touchdowns. And I went to most touchdowns, and Tua is like number one with, like, I think he had an 18 or 19. And I'm scrolling down. I'm like, where the hell is Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson has thrown 10 touchdowns with 5 interceptions. He's thrown for over 2,100 yards. As a quarterback, let's see, rushing 481 rushing yards, 5 TDs. He's done well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Right now, he's my MVP, but if those stats don't, you know, improve, I could be talked into another quarterback or somebody. I feel like this has become such a quarterback-heavy award now.
Mm-hmm.
We should split the MVP into quarterback MVP and then MVP for other positions.
Right.
The quarterback does so it like they have the ball in their hand all the time. You, in order for anyone else to win, you'd have to have like the worst quarterbacking season of all times for all 32 teams, and a running back who runs for like 2,000 rushing yards,
yeah.
Or a cornerback that pulls down 20 interceptions. Like the quarterbacks have to be so down, and the other player, the other positional player, has to be so high up. Like, it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another podcast in the bag. Anything else, man?
Thanks for tuning in. This is another fun one. I mean, you know, baseball is such a long season, and you know, wrestling is never ending. And we seem to talk about those a lot during the summer, spring and summer. And it definitely helps that the Texans are doing well or exceeding our expectations. Yeah. So it is, I forget how fun it is to talk about football when things are going well, when they're going well, when they're trending in the right direction. It's always fun.
Yeah. It's always nice to talk about sports when the team you root for is actually doing well.
Yeah.
I actually get around and talk about the Rockets one of these days. I believe they're 5-3.
Yeah. Wins in a row. 3 wins in a row, I think. Or 2, something like
that. Is this right? This thing says 5 in a row.
Wow.
They lost those first 3 games to the Magic, Spurs, and Warriors. And then they beat the Hornets, the Kings, the Lakers, Pelicans. And they're taking on the Nuggets tonight. I fear.
And then they're off for 4 nights in a row after that?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I got a double. They play to the gate, and then they don't play again until Friday?
Yeah, I really don't understand what's going on with these NBA schedules.
Yeah. That.
Oh, well, not only that, but like they played, was it the Kings back-to-back?
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of teams play each other back to back, like, but like with a day off in between. It's like I don't understand this.
I don't understand the schedule. They have the whole in season tournament, but it's not like they're doing all the tournament games at the same time. So it's like you can play one tournament game, and then the next game is a regular game, and then 2 tournament yeah. games. It's very confusing. Ask.
And then the only, you know, the all that like comes out of the tournament is just more money, which, hey, more money is, I'll never turn down more money. But, you know,
they got another back to back coming up Friday. Wednesday, December 13th. They are home from Memphis, and then December 15th, they're at Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one in February with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Back to back games.
And at the end of February, beginning of March, Phoenix on the 29th of February, and then Phoenix on the 2nd of March.
They play Phoenix three times in about, 2 weeks?
Yeah. What is going on?
Schedule makers are crack. You're just throwing shit against the wall. I got the whole West Coast swing. Denver, LA, Clippers, then Lakers, then the Warriors all in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well put some money on that Clippers game. Clippers, shoot. You got, 4 or 5 days off between Denver and LA? Oh. I'm sure we'll talk a little basketball later on the season.
And, yeah.
You know, the reason they did this in-season tournament is so people actually pay attention to the start of the season instead of what normally happens every year. People just show up around Christmas time and start watching then.
But still, why would you? The only thing that the only people that benefit are the players, because they each get $500,000. Like, each player gets $500,000 for the team that wins the tournament. But there's no other bragging right benefit to the fans. I don't understand.
You get a nice trophy. You get to say you're the in-season champ.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. I know they do this kind of stuff in soccer. So we're going to see how it works over here in America.
Yeah.
Who knows? It might be the beginning of something big. Like, 5 years from now, the kids will fall completely in love with the in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to get up out of here. Anthony, got anything else you want to say to people?
Thanks for tuning in, as always. It's always a good one. This was another good one, as always.
Thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing these podcasts. If you could, leave us a 5-star review wherever you decide to listen to it. It helps us with the algorithm. It helps us with our egos. It just helps. And don't you want to be helpful in these holiday times? You know, Santa's watching. He sees this. You want that PlayStation 5? Then give us a 5. 5 stars. All right, we're going to be out of here. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Laters.